Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Stochastic NHL Strategy Show. I am your host, Josh Harris. I'm inside today. I feel like Kevin Weeks. I've done the last three shows in different parts of the house. But yeah, joining me as always, partner in crime, Slim Cliffy. How you doing today, Cliffy?
Not too bad. Like, are you going to do like the next show, like maybe from outside a dressing room and then another one from an airport or something like that? Is this just going to be your bit for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow my flight got changed. So I was, we have a special 1 o'clock PM Eastern start time tomorrow, but if not, I was going to do it from the Palm Springs airport, which is like Jurassic Park because 75% of it is outside. Like, I don't know what happens if it rains. Like, there's nowhere to go. But, yeah, we'll see where I am tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it from the Kardashians' pantry. Who knows? But we have a six-gamer tonight. Nice medium-sized slate. Six gamers are fun. My Rangers on the slate. Some Fire Pyre on the slate. Some backup goalies. So, as always, like, there is some news to deal with. So, we'll navigate through that. Should be a fun little slate. How was your weekend?
Not a bad weekend. I was kind of sick, so I spent pretty much the entire weekend in bed other than the show on Saturday, but I got wrecked on Saturday night. I played Colorado with some Islanders. The Islanders did well. They did not, but it wasn't the guys that I went with that scored. Ryan Pulock, I think, had four assists. Zach Parise had a pair of goals. I did not have Zach Parise in my lineup, so I didn't do well. It was one of those nights where I was, pardon me, where I was also mad at myself because we were talking in our Discord and on the show how Vegas's numbers had been sliding a little bit. Vancouver was playing better. Their penalty kill was much improved. I even wrote up JT Miller in the picks article on Saturday. Sure enough, they go out and beat Vegas 5-1. My original lineup had, had JT Miller, had Bo Horvat, had, I think, Ilya Mikheyev. I don't know if he scored, though. But I had those guys, and then I switched them out and put in Colorado instead, and it obviously didn't work out. But should have just gone with my first instinct. That's something we say a lot here on the Strategy Show. If you put together a lineup, you're just going single entry, you put together a lineup that projects well that you like for whatever reason, just stick with it unless there's news that comes out that makes you change your mind, because I switched up and it probably cost me.
Yeah, I've always said if I listened to myself on every show, I'd already be retired on a beach with a drink with an umbrella in it. But here we are, still coming to you. But yeah, this is a fun six gamer. I like these medium-sized slates. And right before we get into it, give us a like and subscribe so you can keep up with all of our shows, DFS offers, giveaways, and much more. Once you subscribe, hit that notification button to get alerts when our shows go live. Helps me out, reminds me when I have to go live. I'm just kidding. I usually know. Don't forget, almost all of our content is available in podcast form on the platform of your choice. Help us out by leaving a 5-star review. I'll know it's you if you make a comment about the size of my melon. Let's get into the six gamer, shall we? Let's start here. Tampa Bay Lightning with a 3.6 total heading into Buffalo. The Sabres have a 3.0 total. Ryan Elliott, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, confirmed as your goalies. Tampa plays tomorrow. They're on the front end of a back-to-back. So not surprising to see Elliott start here. That brings the Buffalo top line into play for me. Tampa struggles on the penalty kill. Fully correlated top line. Now, Tage Thompson getting wildly expensive. He's one of the most expensive players on this slate. Buffalo one not coming in with a lot of ownership for an eight-game slate. You know, I think it's because, you know, Tampa's still a perceived tough matchup. But after you get through, you know, some of these top line matchups, it does get a little bit dicey there for Tampa. And Brian Elliott's a big downgrade from Vasilevsky. On the Tampa side, Hagel is off the top power play. We saw Alex Killorn jump back up, which kind of sucks, but what can you do? Sergachev still running the top power play. There are double-digit ownership on both of the top lines. In Tampa, they do have a 3.6 total. It is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So, I don't know. I like both sides. What are you seeing here?
Yeah, I think we also saw Corey Perry get some power play one time last game. Corey Perry. Yeah, but I was just looking at the shift chart, shiftchart.com, great website for checking prior games. Braden Point had just finished like a 2-minute shift as that power play was starting. So I'm just assuming Corey Perry's not supplanting Braden Point on the top power play unit. One other lineup note here, Rasmus Asplund back in the lineup for Buffalo. He's going to be skating with Casey Mittelstadt and Victor Olofsson, Vinny Hinostroza out of the lineup. I bring that up because there were times last year, I think even at the start of this year, when that Asplund, Mittelstadt, Olofsson line was used sometimes as a shutdown line because they really do like Asplund and Mittelstadt together. They played reasonably well together last year, but Asplund kind of had a rough start to the season. He's usually a very good defensive player, but he had a rough start. I think there was some injury. He had been healthy scratched as well. Back in the lineup, I don't think that'll change too much as far as like line matching goes in this game. I think you're still going to see Dylan Cousins' line used in a shutdown role sometimes. You're going to see Tage Thompson out against Braden Point once in a while. So not expecting Mittelstadt and Asplund to get top competition, but that's just something to watch out. Yeah, you said it. Like this Buffalo top line, even though Tage is getting expensive, they've still been really, really good. You know, on the season as a whole, 3.7 expected goals generated, 4.1 actual goals. The problem had been their defense as they were, you know, giving up a lot going the other way. They started to improve that a little bit of late. And sometimes I wonder if it's not, if, well, maybe it is. It's just the defense getting healthy, right? Because there was a stretch where they were having to play Dahlin and Owen Power like 27, 28 minutes a game because, you know, Labushkin was out and Samuelson was out. And I think Bryson missed some games. Yokoharu was out. Like, now they've got everybody back. So I'm assuming the defensive numbers for that line are just going to keep getting a little bit better. But what's worth highlighting is that they're scoring over 4 goals per 60 minutes, which is just an insane amount of offense at 5-on-5. And they're shooting under 12% doing it, which means like this isn't, you know, Montreal 1 shooting 26% or whatever it was for 2 or 3 weeks there. This is perfectly, this is a normal shooting percentage for a high octane offensive line. So, you know, maybe it comes down a little bit, but I think we should be confident that this is one of the premier offensive lines in the league. Now, obviously going up against Tampa is a little bit tough, but, you know, the Tampa top line with Hagel and Kucherov and Point, their expected goals against this year is about league average. Their actual goals against is below league average. Like they haven't been super tough defensively. And as you mentioned, Brian Elliott is starting, not Andrei Vasilevskiy. And you take all that plus, you know, Tampa Bay's penchant for taking penalties, 3.8 times shorthanded per game this year. That's amongst the highest in the league this season. So Buffalo could get a lot of power play opportunities. The Tampa Bay penalty kill still not very good. You know, not awful, but not very good. I'm with you. I kind of like Buffalo one here. You look at the leverage over on our top stacks tool, and I'll bring that up real quick. Tampa's top line, number 2, right behind the Edmonton top line with McDavid and Draisaitl, coming in with single-digit ownership over on DraftKings, even lower on FanDuel where their price is jacked up a little bit. So I don't think there are going to be a lot, you know, even for a short-ish slate like this with only six games, I don't think there's going to be a ton of people on that Buffalo top line. So I do like going back to them. You know, I guess if you really wanted to save money, like you could take off Thompson and put in Dylan Cousins instead, because Cousins is getting some top power play minutes. But with how much Tage Thompson is shooting, like I don't think he's the guy that I would leave off of a Buffalo top line slash Buffalo power play stack. Like, you know, I'd probably be more inclined to leave off Alex Tuck, maybe Jeff Skinner, but even he's had some pretty huge games of late as well. So I don't mind turning into some sort of power play stack either, but I really do like that Buffalo top line here tonight at home against Tampa Bay. The second line has been good as well. That Peterka, Quinn Cousins line, not a huge sample. They've only played about 55 minutes together, which, you know, at 5-on-5, we're looking at maybe 4 or 5 games worth of data. But, you know, 5.4 expected goals generated, that's a huge, huge number. They're taking a lot of shots when they're on the ice. Dylan Cousins has seen his ice time rise to about 18 minutes, you know, especially now that he has that power play one time. He is shooting as well, so it's not as if he's like William Karlsson in Vegas, where, you know, pretty much all he does is pass, or Alex Wenberg in Seattle or something like that. He can shoot. So I don't really mind that Buffalo second line. I just don't know if I would outright stack them because they're super cheap. But other than Edmonton, like, where are you really paying a ton of money here tonight? You know what I mean? Like, if you're stacking, you know, Draisaitl, McDavid, and Hyman, then yeah, okay. Maybe you need to, you know, drop down and save a bunch of money, go with Buffalo 2 or something like that. But other than that, like, there just really isn't a need for it. So I think, you know, the Buffalo depth would be more one-off options for me, like a one-off Cousins, one-off Quinn. I think even a one-off Victor Olofsson, again, is perfectly fine. So that's kind of where my head's at on the Buffalo side. On the Tampa side, like I mentioned, that Buffalo top line really does like to trade chances. Defense has gotten better. Like I said, maybe it's about the team just finally getting healthy, but they are generating a lot as well. They're generating more expected goals than the Buffalo top line. They're just having a little bit of a tougher time finishing. But Nikita Kucherov, like, he's averaging 4.5 shots per game in the month of November. He's just been lights out. Braden Point's still not super expensive. I think both top lines are very much in play here. You know, the Tampa Bay top line's a little bit cheaper, but I honestly think I like the Buffalo top line here a little bit better, especially with Hagel likely off the top power play. You get the perfect correlation with Buffalo. They're at home. They get Brian Elliott. I'm not, like, the Buffalo penalty kill is not very good either. But in that kind of matchup, I would just take the home team. So, you know, if, you know, all else being equal, just go with the home team. And that's why I think my favorite line in this game is Buffalo 1. After that, like, I don't think there's anything that I'm stacking from the depth of Tampa Bay. Tampa 2 is coming in as one of the most over-leveraged lines on this slate. Stamkos is not shooting near as much as he was earlier in the season. I think he's down to about 3.5 shots per game in November, which, you know, it's still good. Don't get me wrong, but it's a far cry from what he was doing, you know, through the first couple weeks of the season, first, you know, 2-3 weeks or whatever. So there are a lot of depth pieces that I like across this game. You know, I do think one-off Corey Perry is fine, you know, playing on that third line with Alex Barry-Boulet. But if I'm going to stack anything, it'd be either of the top lines. And I think I favor Buffalo as the home team, generating a lot, coming in with less ownership here tonight.
Yeah, and if you look at our projections, right, the Buffalo top line is, on DraftKings anyway, is only projected for 0.6 points less than Tampa 1, and they're coming in around half the ownership.
Yeah.
So if you are a, you know, if you do follow the projections, which, you know, a lot of people do, I'd rather take Buffalo 1 here. Now, I think Tampa Bay, stacking Tampa Bay here is perfectly fine if you want to go like point Kucherov, Stamkos, or point Kucherov, Killorn for that power play exposure. I think that's perfectly fine. Like, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was in the minors for a reason. He hasn't had great numbers in the AHL this year. You know, Buffalo was starting Craig Anderson and Eric Comrie over him. That's all you really need to know. Like, their penalty kill isn't great. So I think, you know, just because we like Buffalo here, we aren't trashing Tampa Bay. They are just coming in with more ownership. I think the power play spot is perfectly fine. I think you can go there, no problem. And also, I have stacked Buffalo a few times this season. I've left Jeff Skinner off, and I've got absolutely burned because of it. I think Buffalo, one, is into that conversation where you just kind of just full stack that line, and it's just hard to leave someone off, because if you leave them off, you're going to end up just hating your life. But, you know, if you do, Godspeed. Let's move to the blue line. I think Rasmus Dahlin is in a very good spot. You know, we've seen him up in the mid-eights at points this season. He's 7,600. I think that is perfectly fine. Matias Samuelson, Owen Power, Henry Jokiharju, if you're looking to punt. On the Tampa side, there just isn't much there. If you want to use Sergachev for the power play, I think that's fine. Like, you don't have to add him in. Eric Chernak is at a punchable price, but that's really about it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, Jokiharju's been playing around 22 minutes of late. So, you know, even though he's not full min, you know, full punt min price here today on DraftKings, I still do like him at 2,700. Like, I'm kind of tempted by that Victor Hedman price drop, but without the top power play time, like, I think it's really, his price is really just kind of fine. You know what I mean? Like, the top power play has been very important to his fantasy value over the last couple seasons. He had 130 points in 136 games over the prior two seasons. And 62 of those points came on the power play. Over half his production came with the power play. Now that he's off power play one, he loses all that production. Not all of it, but certainly, you know, like 80 plus percent of it. So I think his price is honestly just fine. Like, I'm wondering if people kind of flock to it just because it is down so low. I mean, we do have him at 12% owned on DraftKings. That does feel a little bit weird, but I do kind of worry about Dahlin's peripherals too. I know he had the shot bonus in his last game, but he's had quite a few like one shot, two shot games of late. So I guess Dahlin is fine, but honestly, it feels weird to say, but I think my favorite defenseman in this game is Jokiharju, considering Bryce and all that. I think it's a long way of saying I might be looking elsewhere for my defenseman.
Yeah. And you know what's going to happen with Hedman? He's going to go down to like 4,300 and they get moved back to the top power play and be like 58% on the next slate.
Yeah.
That's like guaranteed to happen. I know the answer to this question. I think I do anyway. Any interest in Elliott or Pekka Luukkonen?
No.
Yeah. Even though 6,900, I mean, Tampa Bay is so efficient with their shots. He can give up like four on 23.
That's the thing. It's like, would you rather play 6,900 Luukkonen or just, you know, pay the extra $100 and play Korpisalo? You know what I mean?
Or the goalie from the next game going up against the fraud Leafs. What a segue. It's like I'm a professional or something. Toronto Maple Leafs, 3.3 total. Heading into Detroit, the Red Wangs have a 2.8 total. Matt Murray, Ville Husso, confirmed. Ville Husso, 7,200 at home, by the way. I like Ville Husso. Leafs going with these banana headlines, I guess they've been working. Status quo as well for the Wings. Not too much. Like the Leafs always get ownership, so they're double digits. It's not really, it doesn't seem like a lot to me on this slate. Wings top line, you know, under 3%. It's an interesting MME game for me. I don't know. Like, obviously, if you want to get to the Leafs here and use Matthews and Nylander or Tavares and Marner, this and that, I think that's fine. I just don't know if I'm getting to any of this game in 1-3 lineups. I like this game, but, like, there's just much more things that I like if I'm coming down to 1-3 lineups. What are you seeing?
Yeah, Toronto finally broke out there in their last game, or some of their players did. Mitch Marner had 8 shots on goal.
Shooting Mitch is always a good Mitch.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, that was like as many shots as he had in his prior 5 games or something like that. So, you know, whether it's start of a trend or just a blip, I guess we're going to find out. It was an interesting game because I think Matthews had 3 points. Marner and Nylander each had a goal and assist. And then John Tavares had like nothing with a couple shots. So the stack he needed was Matthews with the two wingers. I guess some people probably could have had it. That Toronto top line, their defensive numbers haven't been that good since they've been put together. Below league average, actually, 2.7 expected goals against in 90 minutes. They're giving up more shot attempts than they're taking, which is something that's incredibly rare for Toronto, for Austin Matthews' line. That's not something that you usually see happen. They usually take a lot of shots. You know, the ice time is inconsistent, as we do like to say. There are games where they play a ton. There are games where they play very little. Like he had a 14-minute game a little over a week ago against Buffalo, did, you know, next to nothing in DFS. Played 17 minutes against Toronto, but he had a goal and 2 assists. Like that's absolutely what he's capable of, even if he doesn't play a lot. I'm just wondering, that's got to be a one-off game for Toronto because, you know, putting up 6 shots and 3 points in 17 minutes, not something Austin Matthews typically does. Usually he needs those 20, 21-minute games. But the reason I bring that up is because the Detroit top line has actually been playing kind of fine. Again, not a big sample. We're looking at about 65 minutes. That's, you know, 4 or 5 games worth of ice time. 2.9 expected goals for, 2.2 against, 5.7 goals for, 1.9 against. Wildly outshot attempting the opposition. That Detroit top line has been pretty good since being put together. Your boy Dominique Kubalik has certainly kind of revived his career in Detroit. But the one thing I'll warn against that is I was looking at Detroit's recent schedule. Their last 5 games were Anaheim, San Jose, Columbus, Nashville, Arizona.
How dare you?
there isn't much of an easier stretch in the NHL than that. You know, maybe take out San Jose and Nashville, put in, you know, like Philadelphia, Montreal or something. But it was a pretty easy stretch of games, but they are playing pretty well. They are perfectly correlated on the top power play unit. All of them are taking a fair bit of shots. There aren't a lot of minutes for the wingers. On Saturday's show, we talked about how the New York Islanders were tending to play their 3 centers a lot and then just rotating their wingers through. Detroit's kind of doing the same thing with their forwards as Dylan Larkin plays a ton of minutes. He's been up near 20 minutes a game. And then the next most used forward is actually Oscar Sundqvist, another center. And then a bunch of wingers after that. So like the wingers will play a lot less than Larkin, but that they play together at 5-on-5 and the power play is what's important here. I don't mind Detroit one here, but I think I'm kind of in your boat where it would be more of a MME thing. You know, if I was playing 10, 20, 50, 150 lineups or whatever, that's when I would get to Detroit. Like with Detroit one coming in at 18,800 and then Buffalo one coming in at 19,000, I would probably rather just play Buffalo one in this, you know, on this slate in that matchup rather than play them against Toronto. But I have no real problem going to that Detroit top line here. They have been good. It's not a terrible matchup. Very low ownership. They are one of the better leverage lines of the night coming in just behind that Buffalo top line. So I do like that Detroit top line here. Detroit 2 is kind of weird. Andrew Copp and Tyler Bertuzzi, decent numbers in a very small sample, but I wonder how much we can rely on that sample, again, given that recent schedule. And B, Copp really looked bad pretty much the entire season. And they aren't playing a ton of minutes, like 15, 16 minutes. It's really not a lot. So I know that Toronto's second line, typically not very great, but they have what they are doing is kind of grinding the game down and playing to a relatively slow pace. That's a problem for DFS. I mean, you're always relying on percentages, but if you're not generating a lot, if you're not allowing a lot, then you're really relying on just complete outlier games to accumulate fantasy value. So I'm probably out on Detroit 2. Detroit 3 is kind of interesting just because Sundqvist does get quite a bit of ice time, has been on the top power play of late. for the Red Wings as well. You know, I think Sundqvist makes a fine one-off if you want to pair him, you know, with Adam Ernie or something like that, because you need to save a lot of money, you know, to get up to that those Edmonton guys. I think you can do that, especially on DraftKings, where Sundqvist is listed as a winger. And obviously, you know, if you're playing Edmonton, you might be double centering with McDavid and Nugent Hopkins, let's say. So if you do have a double center build, that is kind of one of those, you know, double wing combinations that I don't mind, but it is Detroit top line. On the flip side, the Detroit penalty kill has been pretty good this year. And that's one thing that concerns me, because a lot of the Toronto fantasy value this season has been coming from the power play. Like, over half of Austin Matthews' goals this season have come on the power play, 6 out of his 10 goals. So he has been very reliant on power play production so far this season, where the Detroit penalty kill has been pretty good. And they don't take a lot of penalties either. They're below league average time shorthanded per game. Like, if I were to play anything, I would just go to the Toronto top line. I would just go to Matthews, Nylander, and Bunting. You know, Matthews is still shooting quite a bit, even if he's not playing as heavy minutes every game as he typically does. That the top line has traded chances at times, particularly earlier in the season. So I don't mind either of the top lines here, but I think this is a case, again, where I would go with the home team top line, you know, in a nutshell, considering ownership and considering matchup and all that. So Detroit 1 is what I like best here, but I certainly don't mind Matthews, Nylander, and Bunting.
Yeah, and I just need to apologize. It is wildly windy outside. I'm kind of choppy. My internet's not doing too good right now. So if you see me, it's windy. Let's move to the blue line. Not too much I like from this game on the blue line. I guess you can add in Moritz Seider if you want. 5,200 is all right. He just needs to start shooting the puck a bit more. Olli Maatta, not a bad punt at 3,500. Jake Walman, 2,800. On the Leafs side, I think you can go to Mark Giordano, obviously, at 3,800. If you are power play stacking, you can add in Rasmus Sandin at 2,700. Like, otherwise, I mean, I guess you can punt with Hull or Liljegren. I just, you know, I'd rather just go to Giordano.
Yeah, I would say, like, if you need the savings, I would probably go to Liljegren over Sandin. Again, I just don't think this is a very good power play spot for Toronto. So I think the sub 3K guy that I like in this game is Liljegren. He has been playing 20 plus minutes since the injuries hit. He is a pretty good offensive defenseman for the Leafs, so I don't mind him. On the Detroit side, can Philip Hronek keep doing this? Like, he's just been kind of on fire a little bit. Like, he looked like the player he was, you know, back in his first season. He's five goals in his last five games or something like that. He has multi-point games in three straight. I don't think he can keep doing it, but he's reasonably priced at 4,500 for what he's been doing of late, and for the upside that he apparently has. But, you know, Cedar's really not doing a whole lot other than, you know, if he's putting up point production. So, like, he's fine. I think in this game, it is the Toronto defense that I like best. I would probably either – I agree with you. I'd go to Giordano if I had the money. If not, I don't mind using Liljegren.
Yeah. Any interest in Ville Husso, especially on DraftKings where he's cheap?
Yeah, I don't. If you need one of those cheap goalies here tonight, I definitely don't mind Husso. He's having a good season. I think he's a good goalie. Could see a lot of volume here tonight. I don't mind him. There are other goalies that I'm looking towards, though.
Fair enough. We are sponsored by BetMGM, and we have a no-brainer offer for you. Bet $10 and win $200 if any team scores a goal during the World Cup. Could also end 0-0 and you still get the $200 in free bets. Click the link in the description, pin comment below to sign up. Bet must be on a pregame money line. The World Cup started about 8 days ago. This offer has another week left. It is available everywhere except for New York, Pennsylvania, Mississippi, and Ontario. Also, if you're in Maryland, sports betting just started. So if you haven't made a BetMGM account and you're from Maryland, I don't know what you're waiting for. You can literally 20x your money with free bets and start a BetMGM account. So click the link in the description. There's also a pinned comment you can click as well. Get on that. I don't know what you're waiting for. It has to be first-time depositors. So especially if you're in Maryland, I doubt you have, if you don't have a BetMGM account, you haven't deposited yet. So get on that pre-game money line bet only. Get your $200 in free bets. New Jersey Devils, 3 total heading into the Garden. The Rangers also have a 3 total. Probably going to be Vitek Vanacek. Probably going to be Igor Shesterkin. Gerard Gallant blowing up their lines because the Rangers blew a 3-0 lead against the Oilers over the weekend, going Chris Kreider. What happened?
Nothing, sorry.
going Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, Jimmy Vesey. Second line of Artemi Panarin, Philip Hedel, Kaapo Kakko. Third line of Alexis Lafreniere, Vincent Trocheck, Barclay Gaudreau. Now, like, if you want Vincent Trocheck to be the third line center, I think that's fine. But I think you do it with, like, Julian Gauthier and Vitali Kratsov on his wings, and you use it as in a sheltered role. And then you have, like, the fourth line be the first or the fourth line going out against top comp. I don't think, you know.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think you move, in that case, you move, you know, like, Alexis Lafreniere with the top line with Kreider and Zibanejad, and you have that sheltered role for the young kids with Trocheck. But I'm not the coach. Anyway, I do have some interest in that Panarin, Hedel, Kakko line, especially if Kaapo Kakko starts finishing. He's been very unlucky to start this season. I think, you know, Panarin will complement him pretty well. This isn't the best matchup here. There isn't much ownership here on either side. I think a lot of the Rangers' problems are evident. Like, they had these problems last year. The problem is Igor Shesterkin saved everything that was coming at him. This year, he hasn't been elite. Not much ownership on both sides. I think, honestly, like, yeah, I still don't like stacking against Igor Shesterkin, but I think with the Devils coming in at lower ownership, I think I prefer the Devils side.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of ownership on either side here, right? The top line for the Rangers coming in at about 7% ownership, the top line for the Devils at 3%. So it's less, but there's, you know, there's not a lot here. Luckily enough for us, that line with Jimmy Vesey on it with Kreider and Zibanejad has actually played a reasonable amount together this year, 65 minutes. Done pretty well, 4 expected goals generated per 60 minutes, 2.9 actual goals. I was looking at some recent performance, though, and Kreider has been shooting less than he was earlier in the year. Mika Zibanejad, his expected goals has started falling off from a very, very strong start through the first 3 or 4 weeks for him. So I think there are some reasons why they're shuffling the lineup, but it does make it a lot tougher to kind of stack these guys because, I mean, A, they have been moved all over the lineup. You now have power play guys across 3 lines for the Rangers. That's a little bit tough. And, the second part is, are they going to stick with these lines all game? Like, you know what I mean? Is what they start with, is that what they're going to finish with? That's kind of the other question. It is a very tough matchup going up against New Jersey. That New Jersey top line, with Hischier and Bratt has been excellent, in a small sample, 82 shot attempts generated per 60 minutes, only 49 against, in a very small sample. In a larger sample, Hischier and Tatar have been very good this year. Hischier and Bratt, we talked about it on the last show, have good numbers going back to last year. So I think it's just a very tough matchup for the Rangers, which is probably why you're only seeing a 3 total, which is the same as Buffalo. Which is really just kind of a one line team. Some Rangers supposed to have 3 lines, but we'll see. Holla, Hughes and Mercer is kind of interesting to me on the New Jersey side because Hughes and Mercer have played together quite a bit this year and they've been like excellent together. 110 minutes at 5-on-5 for Hughes and Mercer together this season. 3.8 expected goals for per 60 minutes, only 1.9 against, so half of their expected goals for rate, 5.1 actual goals generated. And I was looking at some scoring chance data for the first 7 weeks of the season or whatever. It wasn't a huge sample because these, the data I was looking at is by a guy named Corey Snazier, who just, he hand tracks hundreds of games. So it takes him a while to build up a big sample. I think it was about 70 minutes for Dawson Mercer, but he was like amongst the best in the league in creating scoring chances for both himself and for his teammates. Like I'm talking up there with like Kevin Fiala, Patrice Bergeron, Tim Stützle. Like he was off to a real good start this year. There are a lot of underlying numbers that show pretty high offensive potential. And with Nathan Bastian injured, he was moved to the top power play unit. I think he was over 20 minutes in their last game. I don't know if he's going to play 20 minutes again, but he should get a lot more ice time now he's on the second line top power play unit. And you're going up against Hedl and Panarin. Going back to last year, their defensive numbers not very good. 3.6 expected goals against in 125 minutes together. Panarin typically not very good defensively. Hedl is, he's kind of struggling a little bit this year offensively. I wonder if it's, his role or if there's something else going on. So I wonder if they struggle to generate against that Holla, Hughes, and Mercer line. So I kind of like New Jersey too here. They're not coming in with much ownership either, 4%, 5%, 6%. They're not super expensive, especially because Mercer just got that new role. So, his price hasn't reflected his change in the, within the team's hierarchy. So you could stack just Hughes and Mercer for $10,500, which is a pretty, relatively cheap two-man duo. I think it's a good matchup against that Rangers second line. And it is a tough matchup against Igor, but I was looking at why his numbers weren't quite up to par from last year. It's basically just the penalty kill. He was, I think it was a 933 save percentage on the penalty kill last year. Yeah, and this year it's only 850. Now, 850 is probably low for him, but, goalies can have a single bad season in this regard on the penalty kill. Like, we're only looking at a 300 minutes, whatever, 400 minutes at 4-on-5. So with Mercer jumping that top power play unit, I like that Hughes Mercer hollow line more than Hischier, Bratt, Tatar in this game. On the Rangers side, it would be the Rangers top line or bust for me. But with New Jersey not really taking a ton of penalties, they're a little bit lower than league average. I think I would probably just lean to that Rangers top line if I was going to stack anything in this game. But it is that Devil's second line that I do like best. The Rangers penalty kill itself, I think, is fine. It just seems like Shesterkin is struggling a little bit on the PK. So Devil's two for me out of this one.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. I think, the more lineups you make, the more you can get from this game. Like, it's probably like, I hate using like historical game, like with no stats to back it up, but every time you get these Rangers Devils games, it's pretty choppy. It's pretty low scoring. Don't mind, dipping down to the Rangers third line, going like Lafreniere, Trocheck, but like in 1-3, like I kind of agree with you. You go to the top line or bust there. I do like that call on Hughes Mercer. Like Panarin's a different player from Patrick Laine. Don't get me wrong, but like, they're similar defensively. Like they always drag down their line mates. So yeah, going to Hughes Mercer definitely makes some sense. Let's move on to the blue line here. I don't think you have to add in Dougie here, but I think, at 6,500 you can. Ryan Graves price just doesn't move. And I think you can go to him. On the Rangers side, probably going to be, Trouba or Keandre Miller, but that's about it.
Yeah, I do like Trouba a lot. Like, he's probably going to get into the double digits for ownership because he's priced all the way down to 5,000 on DK. He's not quite that on FanDuel. FanDuel is 6,400, so I wouldn't worry about ownership there. I think he might be a little bit high, but this does seem like a good game for him to rack up those peripherals, right? Especially blocks, because New Jersey takes so many shots. So where his prices come down, like, Trouba's probably one of my favorite defensemen on the slate here tonight, considering his price. So Trouba, yeah, Ryan Graves, I agree. Don't mind Jonas Siegenthaler either.
Yep. Any interest in Vanacek or Igor?
Yeah, I always have interest in Igor, especially against a team that shoots as much as New Jersey. Igor's at or near the top of my priority list for goalies here tonight.
Yeah, concur. Just hope he holds up on the penalty kill, but we'll find out. Vegas Golden Knights with a 4 total. Heading into Columbus, the Blue Jackets have a 2.5, probably Logan Thompson. Daniil Tarasov confirmed for the Blue Jackets. Johnny Gaudreau was absent from morning skate. He is a game-time decision. He has an illness. Oh, boy. If this was 2 weeks ago, I'd be all in on Vegas 1 at this ownership. But they have struggled a bit recently. Their prices have come down a tiny bit, but you're not getting a massive, massive discount here. They are double digits in ownership. They are fully correlated. If Johnny Gaudreau doesn't play, coupled with Daniil Tarasov in net, what are you doing with Vegas 1 here?
Yeah. To kind of speak to what you're talking about with that Vegas top line struggling, Jack Eichel doesn't have a single game in his last 8 games with more than 7 shot attempts. Now, 7's actually a decent number. But to that point in the season, he hadn't gone more than 5 games without more than 7 shot attempts. Like, there are a lot of like 8, 9, 10, 11 games sprinkled throughout the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. So there's definitely been a little bit of a downturn offensively for that Vegas top line. That being said, this is still such a good matchup for them. Columbus's penalty kill has kind of fallen apart completely since all those players got injured. I was just looking through their last 8 games. The only team giving up more shots on the penalty kill per minute is the team we're going to talk about next, actually, in the St. Louis Blues. But Columbus is 31st for shots against on the penalty kill in their last 8 games. There's just too many injuries to their blue line. They're relying too heavily on too few guys, and then other guys that probably don't really deserve that role. So I think this is a chance for the Vegas power play to kind of finally get there. Now, they don't really generate a lot of opportunities, and Columbus doesn't really take a lot of penalties either. But I don't think they need 5 or 6 power plays here tonight to get on the scoreboard. Like, I think they might only need 2 or 3. So I do like Vegas 1 here, but they have been generating less. 3 expected goals for in their last 125 minutes together. It's not a tiny sample. That's about 10 games worth of ice time. They just have been skating less, or been generating less, sorry, as a line. And with Eichel shooting less and their prices still, you know, pretty consistent in that 18-19K range, like, I think there are reasons to fade Vegas here, but I think the matchup is just too good to really get away from, especially if Gaudreau is injured. Like, the Nyquist-Jenner-Gaudreau line had actually been pretty good for the Jackets. 3.1 expected goals for, 2.7 against, 3.1 actual goals for. Problem was the goaltending behind them, as it's been for Columbus much of this year, has been very poor. But if they don't have Gaudreau, like, how are they going to be generating offense? And then, you know, the defensive numbers get worse and et cetera, et cetera. So especially if Gaudreau is out, I really like Vegas 1 here. Vegas 2 is kind of interesting to me. Marchessault, Smith, and Carlson, their numbers have been fairly consistent all season, or well, at least since they got put together. Jonathan Marchessault has 19 shot attempts in his last 7 games on the power play alone. He's averaging nearly 3 shot attempts per game on the power play. Like, he's shooting a lot with the man advantage. And like I just talked about, Columbus's penalty kill has been pretty bad since all those defensemen got injured. So I don't mind Vegas 2 here. I know they're coming in a little bit over-owned. Like, they might be, you know, pushing 10% ownership here tonight, but they've been playing well. I know Columbus, like, they line up as if Cole Sillinger is their second line center. But if you look at the way ice time has been working out the last couple of weeks, it's actually the 4th line that is their second line. Robinson Corrali and Matthew Olivier have been the quote unquote 4th line, but have been playing 16, 17 minutes a game, particularly Robinson and Corrali. They have not been that good defensively this year. 3 expected goals against per 60 minutes, 3.4 actual goals against. I think that's a matchup that really, really favors the Vegas second line. So I'm not playing anything from Columbus, especially where we don't know Gaudreau's status. Maybe the defenseman will get to those. I think the line that I like the best in this game is Vegas too.
Yeah, I'm out in Columbus as well, especially with the unknown with Gaudreau. You want to get to them in, you know, MME in like after you're making like 50 and 100. Yeah, go for it. Me in 1-3. I wouldn't say it's an easy X, but like it's one of the easier ones on this slate for me. On the Vegas side, yeah, I do like Vegas too here. I also like Vegas power play. Like you could leave Stevenson off, add in Marchessault, or you know, go Eichel, Marchessault, Pietrangelo, something like that. But yeah, four total with not massive ownership. It's kind of hard to ignore, especially with the backup of the backup in net, Johnny Gaudreau possibly out. Teams missing like the whole blue line besides Gabranson, who, you know, they would actually benefit if he was out. So
I mean, he might be out tonight. I think he's a game time decision. So
changes everything. No, but like, yeah, Columbus is a mess. I mean, they would have been a mess if they were fully healthy, but this roster is a skeleton of what they normally are. Let's move to the blue line here. Pietrangelo, 7K. I think you can add him in if you want. He's been doing pretty well since he's jumped in price. You want to go to Shea Theodore. If you're using Vegas too, I guess that's fine. I know Jake will. Otherwise, you know, like Alec Martinez and his block party will probably continue. On the Blue Jacket side, Gavrikov or Hasta La Vista, baby.
Yeah, I do like Gavrikov here tonight in that mid threes range. I'm playing heavy minutes. He's going to get some power play time. I think he stands a pretty good chance of the block bonus with the way Vegas can't shoot the puck. So I like Gavrikov. Shea Theodore, 4,900. Like, I know he's getting 11% ownership, but man, like we talked earlier in the year about how he wasn't shooting. That's completely turned around. He's averaging, I think, like 3.5 shots per game over his last 8 games. If you're worried about Pietrangelo and, you know, Vegas getting enough power plays for him to really get there, especially where Pietrangelo's peripherals have been falling off a little bit. I think Shea Theodore makes a lot of sense. So like Theodore, also another one of my favorite defensemen on the slate tonight.
I concur. It's our biggest Cyber Monday deal ever. This is our way of saying thank you to the best DFS community in the world. We appreciate all of you supporting our shows, podcasts, articles, etc. Without you, this would not be possible. That's the truth. So what we're going to do for you is we're going to give you Stochastic Platinum for a week for $5. That's 90% off the weekly price of $39.95. Use promo code THANKS or click the link in the description to take advantage of this killer deal. This deal ends tonight at midnight. So if you were ever thinking about doing it, now is the time. You get the keys to the whole car here for $5. You can test drive the site for a week. You can decide if you want to continue or not. For $5, if you play DFS, no matter what you're playing a night, for $5, getting access to everything will definitely help you, including the World Cup projections, which is nice. So, I don't know what you're waiting for. This is a big, great offer for you. 10 left, 2 games to get through. Let's hop to it. We have the Dallas Stars with a 3.1 total heading into St. Louis. The Blues have a 2.9 total. Jake Oettinger, Jordan Bennington confirmed. Robert Thomas is out tonight with an injury. Blues going with a top line of Pavel Buchnevich, Ivan Barbashev, Vladimir Tarasenko. Second line of Saad O'Reilly, Livio. Third line of Jake Neighbors, Shen Kairou. Now, both of these teams are playing like 9 games in the last 13 days, something ridiculous like that. The second line for the Stars is now Mason Marchment, Radek Faska, and Tyler Seguin, which means, you know, our boy Dennis G down to the fourth line. Not surprising. They yo-yo him all over the place. Dallas Stars, top line, top power play, in play for me. The Blues give up a massive amount of shots on the penalty kill. The total's not too high here, but the ownership isn't crazy high. I don't mind going back to Dallas 1 here.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where, 3.1 total doesn't look like a lot, but you got to imagine if they score 4 goals, you kind of know who's going to be involved in those goals. Yeah. That's why you know, their projected, our DraftKings projection is for nearly 40 points, which I think trails only the Edmonton top line here tonight, Draisaitl, McDavid. So obviously that Dallas top line is in a pretty good spot. They're going to get the matchup, Brandon Saad, Ron O'Reilly, and Josh Levo. Now, they haven't been bad, but they haven't been great either. 2.7 expected goals for, 2.6 expected goals against per 60 minutes this season. Now, a Ryan O'Reilly line is not one that typically has great expected goals for numbers. They're a line that is really patient with the puck and looks for like a perfect passing play and relies kind of on percentages, but it's the expected goals against that's interesting to me because usually Ryan O'Reilly's excellent defensively. He's had kind of a tough season this year. The numbers since Josh Levo joined that top line, surprise, not great defensively. So I think it's perfectly fine to go to Dallas 1 here tonight. Like, I know the ownership is a little bit high, 12-13%, but like, I think that's fine for a slate this size. You know, their ownership is coming in right in line with, like, you know, the Tampa top line that is also on the road, and the Florida second line, which is also on the road, and we'll talk about them in a second. So it's nothing outlandish, and we've seen the upside that these guys have. And the other thing is, you know, we talked about on the last show, they're playing more minutes. That was a big concern back in October with this Dallas Stars team, was they're really spreading out the ice time. They're basically all playing, the top line anyways, playing 18 and 20 minutes of late. They're all around 19 minutes in their last game, and they got benched for the last 5 minutes. So, you know, they would have been over 20 minutes again. I do like that Dallas top line here tonight, as you said, and as was mentioned earlier in the show, St. Louis giving up a ton on the penalty kill, the most shots against per 60 minutes over their last 12 games. Again, not a tiny sample. Dallas, the best power play in the league, the best top power play unit anyway. I really do like Dallas 1 here tonight. They're right up there, I think, with Buffalo 1. As one of my favorite top lines on this slate. So I do like Dallas 1 here. Going down, St. Louis 2 is kind of interesting. Buchnevich, Barbashev, Tarasenko haven't played much together this year, played over 100 minutes together last year. Like the Buffalo top line, they like to trade chances back and forth. Not great defensively, but they do generate as well. It scored 3.9 goals for 60 minutes at 5-on-5, so they're really good. That Dallas second line hasn't really been great defensively this year. Without Denis Gurianov there, about 150 minutes, 2.9 expected goals against per 60 minutes. It's Jake Ottinger that's been saving them. Now, I think Radek Faxa is going to help them defensively, but he had a bad season last year as well. Has bounced back a little bit this year, though, which is why he's found his way back to the second line. But I don't think that Dallas line is going to have too easy of a time generating offense here in this game. So I don't mind that St. Louis second line with Barbashev and Tarasenko. You know, the problem might be is that they're going to be coming in with some reasonable ownership because they're not super expensive. So it would be the Dallas second line or St. Louis second line. St. Louis 3 is also kind of interesting to me. Tarasenko and Shen. Kyrou and Shen. Because Kyrou and Shen have been able to generate this year. The Dallas third line has been giving up chances against. It's probably been their worst defensive line, even though they do generate some good offense. So I think a two-man of Shen Kyrou is fine. But it is that second line I like the best for St. Louis. You know, that Barbashev Tarasenko line. But more than anything, it's Dallas 1 for me.
Yeah, I agree. You can add in Jamie Benn as well for that power play exposure. He's getting much less ownership. He's been shooting the light, like his shooting percentage is just bonkers and he's on a bonkers pace, but this is a very, very good power play spot. So let's move to the blue line here. If you live on Narrative Street, Justin Falk's wife just had a baby this morning. He is expected to play tonight. He is 6,300. Torrey Krug down under 4,000. I think, you know, if you're using that Buchnevich Tarasenko line, I think Krug at that price makes some sense. On the Dallas side, Miro Heiskanen's price has dropped a bunch. He's around the same price as Maurice Cedar. They have the same issue. They need to start shooting more. I think Esa Lindell at 2,900 on DraftKings, or even Jani Hakanpää, the Finnish Jake Hari, is fine tonight.
Yeah. I don't mind Haskin at 5,300. I think that's probably a fine price for him, like high fours, low fives. He's fine as a one-off defenseman tonight. I think I would probably rather play Shea Theodore for a little bit cheaper, but I don't mind Haskinen. I'll mention Colton Pareko on FanDuel. His price is just not moving on FanDuel. I think for good reason. He's not doing a whole lot, but he's still pretty cheap over there, so don't mind him on FD.
Last game of the night, Florida Panthers with a 3.2 total. Heading into Edmonton, the Oilers have a 3.4 total. Bob is probable. Stewie Skinner is confirmed. Oilers running it back with Drysdale, McDavid, Puljujärvi on the top line. Matias Janmark, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman on the second line. It appears Barkov is out, or at least a game time decision tonight. Going with Nick Cousins, Sam Bennett, Matty Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe, Anton Lundell, Sam Reinhart. Now, obviously, Edmonton power plays in play here. I don't think I'd outright stack that second line, especially at that ownership. I think I'm going to that top line or power play stacking. On the Florida side, if that Lundell-Reinhart combo sees Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, Janmark, I do have some interest in them. What are you seeing in this game?
Yeah, I'm with you. Lundell-Reinhart Verhaeghe line that I do like best here. The problem, you know, they're just coming in with a fair bit of ownership. We have them at around 11 or 12%, which is a lot for a second line, you know, quote-unquote second line, but they are the second line here, but I think it's a pretty good matchup going up against Edmonton too here. Like, I just think there are, you know, even with Barkov out, I think there are reasons to use that Florida second line, you know, among them being the price. The Florida top line is kind of interesting here because Bennett and Tkachuk have played a lot together this year and did real well together. 120 minutes for Bennett and Tkachuk this season. 3.5 expected goals for per 60 minutes, 4.8 actual goals for, only shooting 10.5% when they're on the ice. Playing pretty, pretty well. Even McDavid and Drysdale aren't that great defensively between them. Florida one really not getting that much ownership, you know, 7, 8, 9%. You know, they're going to play a lot as well, 19 to 20 minutes. I don't think you have to full stack. I think you can leave off Cousins, but I don't mind that Tkachuk Bennett, but I really do like the Florida top six here. And with Edmonton, it's just, you know, you play the top guys. There's just nobody else on the roster. If they're not on the top power play unit, I'm not rostering them. So it's just kind of the way it goes. Both teams take a lot of penalties and draw a lot of penalties. So it's the power play guys that I would definitely focus on here. So I think you're even find a Florida power play stack here in this game, especially where you get reasonable prices on Lundell and Reinhart.
I agree there. Let's move to the blue line real quick. Aaron Ekblad running the top power play, 5,700. Montour as well, 6,800. Tyson Barry still on the top power play unit for whatever reason at 3,600. That's probably a fine price, honestly. 3,600, I would consider playing him. The problem here, I want to like Evan Bouchard. He scored twice last game, but he only played 14 minutes. He is 3,200, but you know, Nurse, 4,300. I these prices are crazy.
Yeah, well, with Nurse, I was looking at – he had a couple big games right at the start of the season, but he's gone 15 straight games with fewer than 16 DraftKings points. So he hasn't been shooting a lot, so I think it's fine. Honestly, I think Aaron Ekblad is a defenseman I like the best here. He's been putting up peripherals since he came back. Edmonton does take a lot of penalties. I worry about the power play without Barkov there because no Barkov plus obviously no Huberto, like that takes a lot out of their passing ability. But I do like Ekblad here tonight. He's right up there for me with Shea Theodore amongst my favorite defensemen on the slate.
Yep. Coming up right after us, top of the hour, No House Advantage Monday Night Football at 3 p.m. Eastern with A10 and Jeff. Then the No House Advantage Monday Night NBA at 3:30 with Emac and Terry. So stick around for that. Also, don't forget to click the link below and sign up for BetMGM. Deposit $10, win $200. It's that simple. Who are you liking in net tonight?
Just talked about that game. I like old Stewie Skinner here tonight. Florida likes to take a lot of shots. Edmonton loves to give them up. Really like him on DK. Igor, obviously, I mentioned that earlier. And I'll also mention Matt Murray on FanDuel. Pretty cheap over there still. Don't mind him if you're playing on FD tonight.
I'll just add, I did have interest in Corpi Salo. He's not starting, so I think the cheap punt that I'm looking at is Ville Husso. Who are you liking for your hat trick pick?
I think I went with him last week, maybe, but we're going to try this again in a good matchup. Jonathan Marchessault.
I knew you were going there, so I'm going.
Jamie Benn.
Mic check. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, my God. If he gets a hat trick, I will be logging off early.
Probably same. I haven't built my lineups yet, but probably same. But for Slim Cliffy, I am your host, Josh Harris. We're both hosts, let's just be called. We'll be back tomorrow at a special time, 1 p.m. Eastern, because my flight changed and I am a diva. Sorry about that, but 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you on Twitter. See you in Discord. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck tonight, everyone.